This is the Android Buffet Podcast, episode number 350, recorded Wednesday, May 24th, 2017, in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Because you were nice enough to let us record early, I went for the extra jaunty version of that opening.
Yay.
Yes, now with more jauntiness. See what happens when we record 40 minutes early?
Yay.
So it was a big week. Google I.O. was going on when we last talked.
Google I.O. Is that a thing?
It was a thing. It has ceased being a thing until next year.
All right, cool.
And let me think. Anything else going on of an Android-y nature? Well, I don't know. Spring is coming, maybe?
Is it?
You know, where a young man's thoughts turn to new cell phones.
Oh.
There hasn't been a good replacement for the Nexus 5X anyway.
Or the 6P.
Well, there's always the Pixel, but it just didn't seem like me. We'll see what comes out. Anyway, we have some news to get through.
Yay!
I like news.
Cool.
So, the Android app beta on Chrome OS, which is basically the ability to run Android apps on Chrome OS. Apparently, that feature will be in beta at least through the summer. Now,
which means it won't be ready for general consumption for at least until autumn, right? Is that what you said?
Yeah, but last year I bought this Chromebook to replace the older one because not only was it touch-enabled, made it the first touch device that I had, and I figured I needed touch to test touchy things.
Right, that makes sense.
But because it said that it was supposed to get Android app support this year, and I thought that that would be a good thing to explore on as part of my research for the show. Also, if you remember the former Chromebook that I was using to bring your audio in kept malfunctioning, it annoyed you at the time.
Oh, the Raspberry Pi.
No, not the Pi.
The Pi? Not the Pi?
No, a few months ago, every time I tried to connect, it would say that there was a problem connecting, and I'd have to reboot it over. Oh. That was the old
Chromebook. You don't let me know what that was.
Yeah, that was the old Chromebook.
Okay.
So after I swapped to this one, which was available as a Woot sale.
Woot.
Yes. Basically, I wiped the other thing and flushed the software back to default. I'm actually retiring some of my oldest pieces of junk as soon as I get around to retiring them. I still have my MSI Wind U100. Do you remember those?
No.
That was a 10-inch netbook. You remember the netbook craze?
No. Yes. Oh, wow. That was years ago.
Yeah, I still have that thing on my shelf. But I think it's time to retire some of my older electronics, wipe the drives, and either use them for some low-level function. Because there are things you can do with if you install, let's say, a basic operating system with an old netbook.
Right.
But it can no longer really handle a full workload. Actually, in its defense, it really couldn't handle a full workload when I bought it. Those things are really portable. Now you won't really find a computer smaller than 11.6 in terms of screen size.
Which is fine, because I don't think computers should have such, but that's...
Yeah, but, you know, the portability of a 10-inch computer, you know, if you were doing certain things, admittedly, keyboard-wise, it was difficult, but it was very useful when I really didn't want to carry anything. And I'm still trying to find the sweet spot for that.
It's at 15.4 inches, or 15.6.
I really don't like carrying things. Anyway, so I have a variety of things between 11 and 15, mostly old things that I've accumulated over the years.
Okay.
But it's time to let some of them. Anyway, still hoping that my N22 Lenovo over there that's currently running your audio at some point allows me to do Android apps. We'll see.
We'll see.
Anyway, Android O users will be able to update their graphics drivers through the Play Store.
You mean Oreo?
That has neither been confirmed or denied. Right now, I'm in the mood for Android Okra.
Okie dokie. I think it's cool that we're going to be able to update drivers via the Play Store. Although, now we're starting to turn into Microsoft-y feel to it, that... I don't know. May not bode well.
Well, remember, to some degree, that means that it's controlled by the manufacturer and Google, which they're a little more reliable than some companies. Also, the Play Store automatically updates things if you let it, which makes it a seamless experience. It's not like the old days where you had to go to a website and find the thing, download it, and install it. Background updating is actually very nice.
Yes, but I can say that on the Microsoft side, I much prefer the drivers that I get from the vendor directly instead of what I get through.
I think I remember that from my Windows days. Although I do have a new Windows 10 computer. So.
You're more modern than I am.
Well, no, I need I have only one computer at any given time that can run Windows, and that's the one that is failing. So I bought myself the cheapest piece of junk I could because there are still some things that want Windows.
Right.
It was basically that was less expensive than buying it and installing it on an old piece of junk.
Sure.
So I'm retiring the old failing piece of junk, which needed to be retired. That was I probably bought that thing in 2008. I actually have to look it up. I'm wondering when I bought it, but not relevant to here. But time to get rid of it. I'll give it an honorable burial.
Cool. Recycle it.
Yes. I'm burying it at the local Staples because the law in New York City is you can't throw out electronics.
Crazy.
So anybody who sells electronics has to take them. Not bad, as long as I don't have to pay to get rid of it. Anyway, let's see what else we have. Android O will allow you to set automatic re-enable of Wi-Fi near trusted networks. So if it knows it's near a network you trust, it will turn your Wi-Fi back on, even if you turned it off.
I wonder if this will have the same accuracy as trusted location. Because I got to tell you.
Well, they said they were going to start doing something about that.
Yeah.
But I'll wait and see.
Right. Anyway, I mean, this is cool. There's, I think I'd like to, when I'm out of the house, generally have Wi-Fi off. But I don't want to forget to turn Wi-Fi on when I come home. So, you know, which...
I just leave it on all the time, but I don't tell it to automatically connect to strange networks.
Well, mine will connect to the Xfinity Wi-Fi hotspots or Wi-Fi spots, and there's a gazillion of them around town.
Yeah, I actually have to do something about that.
And normally, it's a good thing, but if I'm driving, I don't want that to happen because it takes my phone a while to realize that it is out of range of that thing it just connected.
I can understand.
But anyway, I like this. I think this is a cool idea. I hope it works. Better than the trusted locations does.
Well, the thing is, even if it re-enables your Wi-Fi, you know, within a mile of your house, that's still a little better in terms of degree.
Sure.
Netflix was just the first app to do this. The Play console now lets developers exclude app availability for devices that don't pass safety net, which basically means rooted devices.
Yay.
Well,
I wonder, can you, just a thought, can you make it so it's only compatible with phones that fail safety test or safety net?
I'm assuming no.
Because that will be useful for, you know, checking root, right? If it's a root-only app?
Well, you could suggest it to them. I don't have access to the Play console. I've never registered as a developer. You probably still have your registration.
I believe I do.
So you can go in and find out whether or not my soundboard or Magic Mirror or whatever it was called. I assume you never pulled them. So you could see whether or not you could exclude usage for apps that don't, devices that don't pass safety net.
An interesting thought.
I'm interested in the next one. Actions on Google are coming to Android.
What is an action
on Google? Well, this is similar to an Amazon Echo skill. It's basically an app. So if you want to integrate into the Google Home ecosystem or the Google Assistant system, you can write basically a little application that allows Google Home or if it's one of the Echo skills, the Amazon Echo, to interface with your information instead of its own. So
cool.
So, for example, I have the Echo here. I don't have a Google Home, but at some point maybe I'll buy one just to try it, if there's a good... I can tell it to turn on my television, because there's a skill that integrates with Logitech, and I have a Logitech Harmony hub. I can tell it to turn my lights on and off. So, Google is integrated with a lot of services, but let's say that you're a service that Google has not invested time or money into integrating with. You can do it yourself.
I like it.
And if you watch... did you watch the Google I.O. keynote? They did have some examples. Well, you know, I made time. When a Google announcement is important, you make time for it. Although I think at the same time I was cleaning my pantry.
Yeah.
Yeah. I assume that if you find food that says best before 2012, you shouldn't risk it.
I don't know.
Okay, I'll send it to you then. Because that I learned when I was a child that that's the best way to solve that problem. When I was in high school, somebody who I was friendly with on the internet sent me some cookies. My mother was concerned that the cookies might be poisonous. So she gave them to my father, and when he didn't die within 24 hours, she let me have one.
Cool.
I don't know. I always found it a bit strange. But either way, unsafe food should always be given to loved ones.
Hmm.
So what do you know about Kotlin?
I know that it is a language invented and curated by JetBrains. It is a Java variant, meaning that the syntax is very similar and that it compiles down to Java bytecode. And that it contains a lot of the niceties that make C# a really nice language to program in. while also taking advantage of the Java virtual machine. So Google announcing native support for Kotlin is kind of it's surprising that they announced that it's a first-class language. However, it was never much of a stretch, except for the binding, to get Kotlin working on Android.
But people seemed happy. I was watching the keynote and they were cheering people.
It's a really nice language. You know, Java is getting really antiquated. It's a super duper verbose language. I mean,
don't look at me. I've been programming in PHP.
It's C# has all the power of Java without the verbosity, and it has some really nice features in the language. The problem is that it doesn't run on a JVM, and the Mono has its own issues. .NET Core is new. So if you want it to run on your phone, on Linux, C#, for all the awesome that the language is, it doesn't have the infrastructure to support that. Kotlin brings a lot of those features into Java. So, you know, yay. It's a nice language.
I'm taking your word for it. I meant to look it up. I knew it existed, but I haven't really looked at what the pros and cons are. You gave me a good summary. That's why I keep you around, by the way.
Cool.
The Play Store has a new icon.
Yay, it's a triangle.
Well, it no longer has the little shopping thing behind it. No, it's three triangles. You see the big green triangle indicates apps, and then the smaller red portion of the triangle indicates movies and TV. The orange indicates music. The blue indicates literature. And apparently the purple, which is apparently very subtle in here, indicates the newsstand.
Purple?
Well, you can see all the other colors.
Yeah, I don't see the purple.
I thought it was like a little line along. Anyway, you get the idea.
It's thin, like newspaper.
Or the profits of the newspaper industry, regrettably. Right. I agree. I just subscribed to a magazine and I felt very antiquated.
I get the local newspaper 7 days a week delivered to the house.
I thought that was because it was cheaper than getting the digital edition.
No, I want the paper.
Oh, you want the physical paper?
Yeah.
Okay. I just find that it's usually less expensive.
Oh, I get access to the digital version, but I never read.
Okay. I have no objection to that idea. So apparently there were 82 billion app installs last year.
Billion.
Yes. Billion with a B.
Billion. 82 billion.
I said billion. I didn't say trillion. I didn't say million. I said billion.
No, you're right. I'm emphasizing what you said.
Yes. That's a lot.
It's a lot. My brain can't even conceive how big the number of billion is. I can barely grasp million. I think I have a good solid set on 1,000. But million? It's getting kind of iffy. Billion? I can't even.
Okay. How about 82 billion?
Even worse. That's a lot.
The Google Phone app, which is the one that you use as a dialer, apparently will have post-call messages in an upcoming version. Where it'll pop up and let you send a message to a person whose call you just missed, or otherwise. And apparently they're looking into some sort of voicemail backup. Speaking of voice, Google Voice has gotten new widgets and a call screening interface. So Google Voice itself has always had the call screening interface. However, there has not been a settings interface in the Android app up until.
They're getting there.
Well, the thing is that the problem that Google has had is that they sort of abandoned voice, the app, for a while, and even the service hasn't. But now that, and it's actually the next thing on the list, now that SMS support and Hangouts is gone, excluding Google Voice and Project Fi, the likelihood is that they're going to strip out the SMS support for Voice and Fi from Hangouts and put somewhere else. My bet is Android Messenger or whatever they're calling it.
Oh, I don't have to do it on my phone. One of the things I like about the SMS via Hangouts is that it pops up on whatever device. I mean, my computer, my laptop.
That's why I like
Hangouts.
It.
It's nice.
Yeah, and so I like that.
Of course, they're going to take it away.
Well, isn't that the way the world works? If I like something, it goes away. You know, I would go to a restaurant and I would order my favorite item, and then my favorite item would go off the menu. It was always a given that if they introduced an item I like, that it would never last. If I like a television show, they cancel it. Just the way things are.
Yep.
Google Assistant now supports keyboard input.
That's actually kind of nice.
Yeah, I actually tried it. So I've set that as the default. So the assistant is asking me how it can help, and I'm going to select the keyboard option, and I'm going to ask the question, when is JetBlue 402 arriving? So that is the flight that I have to meet in a little while that my parents are on to come. Well, not just see me, but that's the part.
Isn't that a trick question?
No, the plane just departed, actually. It was scheduled to depart at 6, 13 and it just left. And it's 9:43. So it's estimating that the plane will arrive into New York at 12:01 a.m., which is not when I want to go to the airport. But I'm a good son, so I'm going to do it anyway. But it answered the question, and it, not only did it answer the question, but it actually showed me, you know, the little display for when you ever search for flights in Google search, it gives you like a little line. And so it gave me the same card that it would if I searched for it anywhere else. So I assume it would do that for anything that it had knowledge of. So that's nice. I can do it. I can type to my assistant, which is much, which I'm more likely to do than some of the alternatives. You like this idea of typing to or talking to automated robots via your phone? Because these bots, these bots seem to be gaining traction.
Yeah, I know. That's okay.
Well, somebody once showed me statistics that apparently, if 35% of people engage with a business's automated voice bot system, then that's still a significant benefit to the company.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
Yeah, so even if only 35% of people like it, that's still a lot of people.
Or not like, but are willing to put up with.
Well, I don't know. I'm willing to put up with things if they work well. How many times have you been on the phone with one of the more basic voice systems that a company generally installs and, and find yourself saying, agent, human, zero? I think I told you many years ago what my brother usually does in those situations. He says Jabberwocky. Basically, he strings together a bunch of nonsense words in the theory that the system will not understand him and give him a human. I think at one point I heard him on the phone with one company reciting, Coleridge. You familiar with him?
No, not.
He wrote a lot of interesting poetry, usually, if I remember correctly, while he was on drugs. So let's see. Cartoon Network's app now supports Chromecast.
Woo!
So I'm continuing my list of video-based apps that allow you to cast from your Android device to your television. Yeah. I told you I took it on my last trip. If only the hotel I went to had HDMI. I booked another trip, this one voluntarily. I'm going to that conference I went to last year. I wonder, is it worth, since I don't have to make a long-distance phone call overseas, is it worth calling the hotel and saying, do your televisions have HDMI? I'll contemplate that another time. Maybe they have an email address. Anyway, in one positive news if you're traveling abroad, talks on planned laptop bans for flights between Europe and the United States have ended without actually producing a ban. Isn't that good? Okay, so there's currently a ban from several select airports in the Middle East to the United States of carrying a laptop onto the
plane. Right.
And a lot of people are angry about this because people want to work while they're on the plane.
Right.
And airlines have invested in Wi-Fi and all this other stuff to do that. So there were talks about possibly extending this ban to Europe to the U.S., and those talks fell through. So that's a yay.
My understanding is it's not just laptops, any personal like besides your...
Yeah, which means, you know, another thing that people like doing on planes to distract them from the fact that they're on a plane is being taken away.
Like, no more Kindles, no more iPads. I mean, it's not just laptops.
Yeah, I was just going with the simple one.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is that completely changes things. The last time you were on a plane going to, on the longer flight, when you went to the West Coast?
Yes.
Did you take your laptop out on the plane? You used it? Did you find that enjoyable? Okay, would you have enjoyed your flight if you couldn't take your computer out and do something with it?
I would enjoy it less.
Would you be more keenly aware that you are in a cramped seat in a metal tube that is somehow defying gravity? Let's say somewhere between 30 and 40,000 feet above the Earth?
It would make the flight longer, yes.
Well, that's basically my point. You know, there was actually a study done, and you know I have an interest in technology, transportation, and various other things. I'll switch over to transportation mode for a moment. There was actually a study done that stated that if you gave people in-flight televisions, you could actually reduce the amount of legroom you gave them without complaint. So the worst So the worst thing for a transportation company is to let people not be distracted while on the plane and realize how little space they actually have and for what duration of time. Anyway, on that happy thought, I've run out of things to talk about.
All right.
How about we talk about something else in 2 weeks?
In 2 weeks?
Well, I told you on the evening of the 31st is part of a religious holiday.
Sure.
So I will not be able to record. I could recall to record an alternate night, but not that night.
Sure.
So you said no. So that meant no show.
Okie dokie.
I will be very disappointed because I enjoy talking to you every week.
And I you.
And other than that, how about we adjourn till, what date is that? That would be the 7th. And for everybody else, we'll see you then, figuratively speaking.
Have a good night.
Good night.
Have a good week.
Yes. And happy Memorial Day if you're in the United States.
Yeah, and get it off.
Good night, Jerry.
Good night.